And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I do mean this one. Don't argue with me. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to remind you guys, so the latest edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast is out. So keep in mind, Right Side Radio, a lot of y'all know us as the radio piece, but that's just one part of what we do. The company is actually Right Side Media. We have a great team, even added some more people this week. Right Side Media has the written word. I get an op-ed that's published in like 18 different periodicals around the region every week. A couple of video podcasts, and I just locked in two more that are going to be starting in the near future. So we'll have a series of video podcasts going on with different content generators. And then we got Right Side Radio, and even Right Side Radio has its own podcast, which has like 250,000 downloads. So just keep in mind, it's all out there, and you can find out about every bit of it on our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. Check it out. And like I said, the latest edition of my video podcast, The Right Philosophy, is up as of this afternoon. As Scott Buttram's on the line. Scotty Buttram, where have you been?
I appreciate the fact that you're still speaking to me.
Well, at this point, this is where my drill sergeant would have me in the front leaning rest prepared to do push-ups while he talked to me and told me all the things about my heritage that I didn't understand.
Well, I'm embarrassed to tell you what happened, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Oh, God.
I had to make a run to Costco, so I set my timer to tell me to come outside at 3:50 for the call with you.
Oh,
the timer went off, but I never heard it in Costco.
Oh, no. So let me get this straight. You were down there with all the masses making a run on toilet paper, and because that's what we're having. It's a run on toilet paper, and you had to get in the run on toilet paper, and you missed the Grand Council.
Well, I also would have missed the toilet paper. From what I was told, Costco was out of toilet paper last night.
Oh,
but fortunately, we were the only people in Jefferson County that did not need toilet paper. We were in good shape there.
Listen, I don't know if I can explain the toilet paper thing, but I did see that 1819 had a story that said that around the state right now, Charlene was at Sam's yesterday, and she said the same thing, that said there were already people waiting in line because they had heard that a truckload of toilet paper had just come in.
Yeah, I was actually not aware of this toilet paper craze till my neighbor texted me this morning and said, hey, if you're going up to Sam's in Trussville, they're out of toilet paper. And I'm like, why would they be out of toilet paper? Well, I got online and Googled and saw, yeah, I guess we're just losing our minds. And I don't get it either, Phil, because paper products are generally made here in the United States. They're not coming in through the longshore.
I guess, but you know what I did hear, though? Back during COVID, I had heard that it was because everybody was sent home, and all of a sudden they went from having the manufacturers that make X amount of commercial grade, you know, like the kind you have in the big crates of boxes that you get at Office Depots, and then there's a home kind, like that are different, the two-ply, the three-ply, the comfy ones. And all of a sudden, they couldn't keep up with demand. Nobody needed the office stuff anymore. They only wanted the home stuff, and it was just sold out. But that's not the case right now. I don't know. I guess everybody's still got COVID, you know, like kind of like a depression mentality. They're rushing out to get their toilet paper.
Well, now that you've told me that 1819 ran that story, I blame 1819.
Oh, 1819 started a run.
Yeah, Jeff Ford and his group started a run. That's probably why he rigged my phone so I wouldn't be on Grand Council.
Actually, I think it was because you were scared to be on with him because you had said that thing on social media about how you knew that he wouldn't come on unless he had somebody to yell at. So
you know better than that.
All right, well, let me ask you this. I got to ask you because I got you on the phone right now. What'd you think of last night's debate? What were the standout moments for you?
Well, I guess I should preface it as we did, you and I talked, I think right after the Harris-Trump debate, kind of feel the same way in that I don't think a debate at this point is really moving the needle. I think most people have made up their mind. But I guess my immediate thought is it was exactly as we expected it to be. J.D. Vance was far more articulate, far more well-spoken, much better control and grasp of the issues. And I'm going to tell you, Walz looked like a guy faking it and faking it poorly.
Now, Walz did have that that whole kind of like a Beetle Bailey look in his eyes the whole time, like he just didn't know. There were moments when I thought that Walz looked like he had practiced. I mean, he had some speechy moments where it looked like he had rehearsed that particular soundbite. And I don't fault him for being nervous, because I would be too. But the reality is, you're right. Walz did not look, but he looked real. And I said this earlier, that the thing that I think that Kamala didn't have was she did not seem real. She seemed like she was like an actress trying hard for a part and overplaying the part. Whereas Walz last night, to give him a little bit of credit, I think that he seemed like a real person who had real ideas, who was really nervous, which real people would be. But still, that also means he wasn't as good as J.D. Vance.
Well, and he also had the depth of knowledge of a guy off the street. I mean, he really did. He did not have any depth of understanding on foreign policy. That was clear. He didn't have – all he did was repeat the sound bites on Kamala's made-up economic package – free houses for everybody. I mean, come on, we've gone from a chicken in every pot to a house for everybody.
A house in every yard. We got a house in every yard. It's going to
be great.
This
is not serious leadership. You see it and I do as well. I do agree with you. He looked more like the average guy, came across more as the average guy. And in Minnesota, I'm not sure governor's not more akin to mayor. Because there's just nothing up there except us. I don't think he impressed anybody. I don't think he swayed any voters. I kept thinking, and I wish I could remember what football player said this, Phil, but it was in regards to teams coming out all fired up and ready to play. And I remember a player saying at one time, yeah, everybody's fired up till they get hit in the mouth.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I thought of Walz. He's memorized some sound bites. He's memorized some PowerPoints that he's going to throw out there when it comes up. But the first time JD threw a curveball at him, the guy's knees buckled. He went down and he never came back.
Yeah, I think your quote actually is Mike Tyson. I think it was Mike Tyson that said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Well, Tyson would be the one that should have said it.
All right.
I still remember his younger days when he was just a terror.
Well, let me tell you what, now that I got you in here, let me treat you like we're on the Grand Council and ping you with a question you didn't see coming. You ready?
Okay.
I'm totally changing the subject.
All right.
Trump wins the election. There's a lot of talk about who would be in the cabinet. Do you see any Alabama politicos moving to a Trump administration? There's my question.
Boy.
Come on. Clock's ticking.
If he were going to pick one, I think it would probably be Tuberville.
Yeah.
But I don't know that Tuberville would be inclined to leave the Senate, number one, and number two, be forced to live full-time in D.C., but I think he might be he's the type guy Trump would like to pick for a cabinet. He's done it in the past. If he had any sense, he would love to get Katie Britt on the cabinet, but she's not going. Not for any reason other than she has a very clear pathway to leadership in the Senate that she just needs to stay on.
Yeah, I think it'd be too soon. I think she'd be burning some time. That she could use for experience. I could see her getting a cabinet position, but I'll be honest with you. I think that she's better off staying better off for us staying where she is too.
I think so, and I will say I think Gary Palmer could make an excellent cabinet member. He doesn't, and we all know Gary. He's solid on policy, but he doesn't bring a lot of personality. That's somebody I could see a serious type person that I would like to see on a cabinet. I'm struggling with the Alabama connection though. Who did you and Jeff come up with?
Well, I didn't even ask Jeff. We didn't get to that point. But I was going to say the other one that I can't help but wonder about is Steve Marshall. There's a lot of talk about whether Marshall's going to run for governor, whether he, if Tuberville moves out of his seat, whether Marshall might run for the U.S. Senate. But I see, you know, Marshall went up there and he was there for the Trump trial in New York City, sitting in the wings. And there was a lot of speculation that that was a profile moment. And it was also because he may have been invited to be there moment.
Well, Marshall has been on the winning side of a lot of group state legal action.
Yeah.
That you're an attorney, you keep up with that better than I do. And he gets a lot of criticism every time he joins other states. He gets a ton of criticism from the local media that thinks anytime you lose or don't get your way, if you're opposed to them, you should just quit and go home. But he wins an extremely high percentage of those cases he decides to get involved with. But let me ask you this. Is Trump going to go back to an attorney general from the state of Alabama after the fiasco with Sessions, which, by the way, Sessions did more to eliminate Barack Obama policy
yep.
from America than anybody Trump had in his first group, and Trump never realized it, never appreciated it. And so I always resented that a little bit with Trump. Sessions deserved far more credit than he ever gave.
I'm not afraid to say it. That even I know there's some avid Trump fans out there that will hate this phrase that I'm about to say, but I still like Jeff Sessions.
Absolutely, I
could almost see I think he got so burned, and I think it's already his window of opportunity has passed. But I could almost see a reconciliation between he and Trump round two. Not that he would go back to the administration, but I could see them having a public reconciliation, if you will.
Trump would be smart to get him involved because Sessions is brilliant on constitutional law. Steve Marshall has done a great job as AG in Alabama, and I think Trump needs that guy as AG. Bill Barr got sideways with him, but Bill Barr did a lot of good things.
Yeah.
And I think Trump has a lot of trouble hearing, Mr. President, the Constitution won't allow that. And I think Trump, he's a businessman. He's a CEO. He is used to saying, I want this and getting it. And that's a lot of the value he brings to the office of president is that CEO experience. But that is also a limitation if you're coming from the business world to politics, because the Democrats, we know, they ignore the Constitution all the time.
That's
not what conservatives in this country want. We want a government that is going to follow the Constitution. It's always easy to become who you despise, and you got to be careful that you don't let yourself slide into that.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. You can get out of the push-up position now. We'll go stock up your closet full of toilet paper, and we will get you back on because you are much loved on Right Side Radio.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you and Jeff being so kind about it, Phil. I'm telling you, I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it all day. And when I got back out of the car and realized what had happened, I was sick. So thank you for the opportunity to come on anyway.
All right, brother. This is where in my family we just look at each other and go, I just love you in spite of yourself. So there you have it.
We say that a lot in the Buttram household.
All right, hey, Scott Buttram.
Appreciate that audience, man.
Appreciate you, man. Scott Buttram, Trustful Tribune publisher. We'll have him back on again. It's like we had Grand Council in stages today. All right, take me to the break there, JP. JP's been running the board today. JP's been pushing the buttons today.
No disasters have happened, so there you go. At least, but there's still one segment to go.
At least not that they could see.
Yeah.